Roymans Product Management Podcast. Conflict often has a negative connotation. Some people feel uncomfortable when they hear the word. But it is necessary to innovate successfully. Without competing ideas, it's virtually impossible to create great products. Unfortunately, many conflicts are handled poorly. They are hidden or result in personal attacks. In this episode, I'll explain how you can skillfully navigate conflict and use it as a source of creativity and innovation for your product. Now, as I've mentioned, conflict is often seen as something bad that should not occur, but in fact, it is perfectly normal. It commonly happens when people with different perspectives, needs, and goals engage, and that's particularly true in product management. As product people, we work with individuals from various business units or departments with diverging views and ideas. Think of the salespeople, marketeers, and customer support team members, as well as the UX designers, architects, programmers, and testers you might interact with. What's more, innovation relies on conflict. How can you create something new and amazing when everybody quickly agrees? In the worst case, you practice design by committee, broker a weak compromise, and agree on the smallest common denominator. But that's hardly a recipe for achieving product success. Innovation requires diverging ideas and passionate arguments. It requires the willingness to experience and resolve conflict. Additionally, effective collaboration and teamwork rely on the ability to leverage conflict. Otherwise, teams will find it difficult to perform well and become truly productive, closely knit units. Sadly, conflict is often poorly handled, especially at work. Most disputes I've witnessed were not dealt with properly. Many were never resolved. Often the conflict is suppressed or ignored. It's swept under the carpet. Say that you strongly disagree with the way a senior stakeholder talks to you and requests a new feature. But instead of addressing the issue, you pretend that all is well. Other times, the conflict escalates and turns into a verbal fight, in which usually the more senior, powerful person wins. In both cases, the conflict has turned toxic. It leaves behind a trail of bad feelings and mistrust. Relationships are damaged and effective collaboration is difficult, if not impossible, to achieve. What's more, suppressing the negative emotions which are usually present in a conflict increases your stress levels and can harm your mental health. So, how can you deal with disputes constructively? How can you have good, healthy conflicts? One way to achieve this is to use nonviolent communication, or NVC, a conflict resolution framework developed by Marshall Rosenberg. It essentially consists of four steps. First, both conflict parties share their observations. They then talk about their feelings, the emotions they experience. In the third step, they share their underlying needs that gave rise to their behavior, like the need for respect or recognition, for instance. Finally, they make and receive requests to meet their needs and prevent the conflict from recurring. Conflict resolution is therefore not about winning, retaliating, or putting the other person in their place. It's about establishing a dialogue, developing a shared perspective on what happened, agreeing on the changes required, re-establishing trust, and rebuilding the relationship. To put it differently, if you believe that you are right and the other person is entirely to blame, and if you're not prepared to change your own behavior if required, then you won't be able to apply the framework and resolving the conflict will not be possible. Now, please note that I assume that the conflict we're dealing with is not about a severe transgression such as violence, sexual harassment, and discrimination, but it's a dispute that happens between co-workers on a more or less regular basis. Now, the NVC framework might be simple, but it can be hard to put into practice. And so I'll be sharing several tips with you now and guide you through the four steps of the framework. And if you're interested in a more detailed description and more specific advice, then please refer to my book, How to Lead in Product Management. So the first step is sharing observations. And generally speaking, the best way to start the conflict resolution process is to schedule a dedicated meeting with the other person so you can have a focused and confidential conversation. In the meeting, clearly state what you saw happening and what you heard the individual say. Avoid criticism, judgment, or blame. stick to the facts and purely state your observations. As Orin J. Soifer writes in his book, Say What You Mean, the less blame and criticism are in our words, the easier it will be for others to hear us and to work towards a solution. However, sharing your observation is only part of what needs to happen in the first step. The other, sometimes more challenging aspect is to attentively listen while refraining from quickly criticizing or dismissing what you're hearing. This does not mean that you have to agree with the other person, but it allows you to understand their perspective, which is a prerequisite for resolving the dispute. To succeed with step one, make sure that you don't engage in a blame game. Don't label the other person, for example, as difficult, mean, bad, or selfish. And don't assume that you are right and they are wrong and possibly have bad intentions. The second step of the NVC framework is about exploring and sharing feelings. Emotions play a key role in conflicts. After all, a conflict is a disagreement that involves difficult feelings like confusion, aversion, anger, and anxiety. It's a common mistake to ignore the emotional side of a conflict and to focus on its rational part. Take the scenario I shared earlier. A senior stakeholder requests a new feature in a way you find hurtful. If you now focus on the feature, determine if and when it should be implemented, using, for instance, a cost-benefit analysis, and if you ignore the difficult feelings that are present, then resolving the conflict with the NVC framework will not be possible. It's therefore important to acknowledge your feelings. To help you recognize them, you can use the following four questions, which I've borrowed from J. Orin Soifer. First, how do you feel? Second, where do you feel it? Third, what does it feel like? Is there pressure, tightness, aching, heaviness? And fourth, are there any thoughts or stories connected with the emotion? If you had to describe it in one word, what would it be? Once you are aware of your feelings, share them with the other person. While this may require some courage, it is a necessary step. It helps them empathize with you and understand what impact their behavior had on you. Then attentively listen to the emotions the individual is sharing with you. The third step in the nonviolent communication framework is exploring and communicating needs. Needs are considered to be the real reason for the conflict. To discover them, ask yourself why you felt the way you did. What triggered the emotions you uncovered in the previous step? Is it, for example, your need for recognition or respect, safety or belonging? Be truthful with yourself and honestly reflect on your underlying motives and goals. Sharing the needs helps you understand why you and why the other individual acted the way you did and what drove your respective behavior. This in turn enables you to empathize with each other. It makes it more likely to find a mutually agreeable solution, which addresses the root cause of the conflict. Take the scenario with the senior stakeholder again as an example. You might discover that your emotions are connected to your need for respect and recognition and the concern that your authority as the person in charge of the product might be undermined by the stakeholder. Similarly, you might learn that the other person's behavior is caused by work pressures and stress, together with the worry that their interests are being ignored. The final step in the framework is to make and receive requests. And to do so, clearly state what you want the other person to do. If the individual doesn't fully understand what you're asking for, then it will be hard for them to action it. Additionally, use positive language and communicate the outcome you'd like to achieve, and don't state what you don't want. For example, instead of saying, "I don't want you to speak rudely to me anymore," say, "Please talk respectfully to me in the future, even if you are stressed." After having shared observations, feelings, and needs, you will hopefully be able to accept each other's requests. The conflict has now been successfully resolved, and you've rebuilt the relationship with the other person. However, if that's not the case and if the answer you hear is no, then don't give up just yet. Continue the conversation by asking the individual to share their reasons for declining your request. Ask what prevents them from saying yes and if they have any suggestions or ideas that would help address your needs. Alternatively, if you find that you have to decline their request, explain why you cannot accept it and offer to explore more options to find a solution that works for both of you. If, however, you cannot resolve the conflict despite your best intentions, talk to your line manager and the HR department. So to summarize, conflict can be a blessing or a curse depending on how we deal with it. While having healthy conflicts is not always easy, it helps you foster innovation and build relationships. What's more, reflecting on your underlying motives and needs can help you learn something new about yourself and grow as an individual. I hope you found my advice helpful. You can learn more about successfully resolving conflict by attending my leadership training course and by reading or listening to my book, How to Lead in Product Management. Thank you for listening.